morning. Glad you are here with us this morning and celebrating Resurrection Sunday with us. Hallelujah. It's a time of celebration. It's not a time of mourning. Praise God. This is not a funeral service, but it's a celebration of the risen Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just want to say good morning to those of us who are joining, those of you joining us on our live streaming. We just want to welcome you this morning and thank you for tuning in. Well, praise the Lord. If you've been listening, man, the message has already been preached this morning. Hallelujah. And the message has always been about him. You know, Jesus has this thing about when we gather together in church, he thinks that church is all about him. You know, he has this weird idea that everything we're doing today is all about him. How many know it is? Your life is all about him. In fact, if it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know where I would be today. I would be bold to say that Jesus Christ saved my life. How many of you can say the same for you? Amen. Well, this morning, I believe the Lord has a word for us this morning. If you would turn with me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we're looking at verse 20, chapter 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And then stay with us. We're going to have a time of partaking of Holy Communion this morning. Amen. Breaking bread with people of like faith. And it's a blessing and an encouragement to be able to do that with you this morning. It's an honor. Praise God. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 10. And the Bible declares early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. The other Mary was Jesus' mom. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Suddenly there was a great earthquake. You know, I find in the Bible, every time God shows up, there's an earthquake. Amen. It's like God is about to do something awesome, right? And there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat upon it. Amen. I think it was kind of humorous that the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. Amen. I think it's kind of funny he did that. And his face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. They fell into a dead faint. I don't know how I would react if I saw an angel like that. Amen. Probably the same. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid. He said, I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. Remember what I told you. And the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them there. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us this morning as we look to your word for the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, your Son, to the resurrection. Father, we ask that you will reveal your will in our lives and change those things within us, the things that need to be changed for the good and for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody say,
amen.
Amen and amen. This morning I want to talk to you for the time that we have, the King who hung on the cross. The King who hung on the cross. In verse 6, the Bible declares he isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. The Holman Christian Standard Translation said, he is not here, for he has resurrected, just as he said. Amen. Now make no mistake, what most call Easter Sunday is not about a bunny rabbit or an egg. Amen. But today is the greatest news on this side of heaven, which came on Resurrection Day. Today is about the risen Christ. It's about Jesus who took our place on the cross, shedding his precious blood for our sins. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, we owed a debt that we couldn't pay, but he owed a debt that he didn't owe. Amen. But he did it. He did it because it was all about the Father's love and his power in raising Christ from the grave. This morning is Resurrection Sunday. The message is, church, he is risen. You see, we sang about this morning, celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. And this is what it's all about. It's a celebration that the stone was rolled away. It's a celebration of an empty tomb. It's a celebration of a risen Savior. That God's not dead, he's alive.
Hallelujah.
It's a celebration of his resurrection power.
Yes.
It's a celebration of death's defeat. It's a celebration of forgiveness of sin. It's a celebration of God's glory and his faithfulness to us.
Hallelujah.
It's a celebration of a new beginning, a new day, a new life in Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. I don't know about you, but I like new. Amen. In fact, we just bought a brand new van and it smells brand new. I like new. How about you? So today is a celebration of a new beginning, a new day, a new life, a new creation. Amen. This celebration is not about me. It's not about you or about anyone. But this celebration is about him, the risen Christ. Now, when the disciples witnessed Jesus being crucified, they probably thought that all hope was lost. When they saw his body wrapped and placed in the tomb, they probably thought all hope was gone. Because they had forgotten what Jesus had told them. In Mark chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus said that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. But God, everybody say, but God. They will kill him. But God, after the 3 days, he will rise. Well, the truth is, he arose. He is alive. He is risen. He is Lord. And he is King. Amen. Forever and ever. You know, to all the atheists, the naysayers, and all the non-believers alike who worship other gods, deities, and false gods, and let's include all the skeptics, I promise you, you can save yourself from wasting time and money in seeing if his remains are still in the tomb. In fact, Lambert, you've been to Jerusalem 3 times. The tomb is empty, right?
Amen.
The tomb is empty.
Amen.
Jesus, the resurrected Christ, he's alive, he's almighty, he's all-powerful, and he's seated at the right hand of God, and he reigns forever and ever and ever. Amen. Understand, it's not the name of Buddha, Muhammad, Allah, Hare Krishna, Confucius, Moroni that saves, delivers, or heals. But it's the matchless name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. There is power in the name of Jesus. Everybody said there is power in the name of Jesus. In fact, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved. Amen. But the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the demons know that name and they tremble. Amen. He is your creator. He is your maker. The one who created the rhythm and the beat of your heart to synchronize with his heart. Amen. He is your redeemer. You know, I want to just declare, my redeemer lives. Let's all do that. One, two, three. My redeemer lives. And he lives in and through you. Amen. He's your deliverer. He's the God who healed you. Amen. He's the one who helped you through your addictions, your trials, your pain, your brokenness, and your broken heart. Jesus Christ is the your present help in a time of trouble. The promise is that he'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 declares that he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. This is the King that hung on the cross. In Psalms 24, verses 8 through 10, the psalmist says, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. How many of you know the battle is the Lord's and not yours? God will fight for you. And he says, the Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O your gates, and lift them up, O you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. If you never received Christ today, the King of glory wants to come into your heart, into your life. Who is this King of glory? The psalmist says, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is the King that hung on the cross. Amen.
Amen.
He is the King. Amen. And kings have kingdoms. And what Jesus Christ, the King, you might say, what does he have king or rule over? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible declares he is the King of the Jews. He is the King of Israel. He is the King of righteousness. He is the King of this generation and every generation to come. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad that he's going to be the King of the generation of my granddaughter and my grandson.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. He is the King of ages, the Ancient of Days. You can't outlive him. You can't live without him. Satan couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold and keep him down. This is the King who hung on the cross. Amen. This Bible, this church, my life, your life, it all started from and always will lead us back to what Jesus accomplished at the cross. Amen. We got to go back to the cross. This is where we originated. This is where my life began. Your life began. And your life can begin at the cross. Amen. I remember the song, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight and now I am happy all the day. And I am a witness and a testimony to that. I am happy all the day because of the cross. Amen. How about you?
Yes.
You see, the cross was God's remedy, his solutions to every problem mankind will ever face. The cross was the solution and the remedy. An author, Louise A. Cheney, who wrote God's No Fool, she wrote a provoking poem. And let me read her poem that she wrote. I stand before the cross and wonder. I stand before the cross and fear. I kneel before the cross and I weep. I pray before the cross and I rejoice. I know the cross is to know Christ. To feel the cross is to feel Christ. To gaze at the cross is to gaze at Christ. To carry the cross is to be a Christian, and not until then. You see, the cross of Christ ought to provoke wonder, fear, and tears, yet joy within our lives. To know the cross is to know Christ. Amen. To feel it at least somewhat he felt. To behold him, to live for him, and to live as he lived. You see, the king who hung on the cross, this is who we're talking about this morning. You see, the word of God declares he is the king of heaven who sits on the throne, on his throne in the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and will rule for 1,000 years. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. King David declares in Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies display what his hands have made. We're talking about the king who hung on the cross for you and I. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies displays what his hands have made. Now just use your imagination and imagine with me. Imagine David as he's writing this psalm. He's probably amazed at admiring the grandiosity of the nature of God, the nature that God has created. Gazing at the vast blue skies and just array and amazed with the colors. You know, every time I take my granddaughter Joy, you know, she wants to look at the moon and she sees the moon. And she does this weird thing, like she does this. She wants to get to the moon. You know, she wants to try to reach it. So I'll pick her up and I say, you know what? Papa will take you to the moon. You want to go? You ready? So I'll count 1, 2, 3, let's go. You know, she's ready. But she's just amazed at the moon. And David is just amazed at the vast skies, the array of the colors and the nights, blanketed with millions and millions and millions of stars, glistening stars, by which God has named every star in the heavens. All God's creation, the beauty and the awe of nature, displaying of what his hands have made, which all creation validates and speaks of his existence as creator. Everything that has been created speaks of him. Yes. Amen. Yes. There's a message to everything that you see. Yep. In fact, Isaiah speaks about how the beauty and the awe of the mountains and the hills, they burst into songs. Amen. And the trees of the fields, they clap their hands. What are they doing? They're admiring, they're worshiping God, their creator. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. To the king who hung on the cross. You see, there's no limit to his love for you. There is no shortage to his supply. Amen. Romans chapter 4 verse 25 declares Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that he has made us right with God. Amen. I believe the King James says we have been justified before God just as if we've never sinned. Jesus, who was the righteous, became righteous that he might bring us to him. Amen. You see, the king of the cross, who hung on the cross, this king, there's nothing that you can stop this king from blessing you. He wants to bless you. In fact, when I was thinking about the cross, I was thinking about there's an ugly side to the cross, yet there's a beautiful side to the cross. Yes, the ugly side was that Jesus died. He suffered tremendous pain and agony. He suffered death. The Bible says that he was marred, that you could not recognize. There was no beauty in him. And there is an ugly side to the cross. Yet the other side is there's a beautiful side. Because everything that he suffered was for you and I. Amen. And that's the beautiful side. That everything that he suffered was provision for you and I. Amen. That by his stripes we may be healed, restored from shame, whatever it is. That's the beautiful side of the cross. And that's what the king who hung on the cross did for you and I. You see, nothing can stop this king from blessing you. He is the strongest of strong, the mightiest of all might. He is the king of truth. a God of His Word. He gives grace abundantly. He shows favor without he shows mercy without favor. He had no predecessor. He will have no successor. He has always been and forever will be. There will be no one before Him, and there will be no one after Him. You can't impeach Him. He will not reside, not a chance. He is the lover of your soul. If you don't know Him, I've got good news. He wants to meet you. His body, His hands, His feet bear the scars of immeasurable sin, although He was sinless. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, verse 24, reading from the Passion Translation. He never sinned, and He never spoke deceitfully. It's amazing. For some of us, we always want to have the last say, right? But He never sinned, and He never spoke deceitfully. When He was verbally abused, He did not return an insult. When He suffered, He would not threaten retaliation. Jesus faithfully entrusted Himself into the hands of Father God, who judges righteously. He Himself carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from His wounds. That's powerful. You know, Franklin Graham writes, we must not forget, it wasn't the Jews that put Him on the cross, and it wasn't Pontius Pilate or the Roman soldiers, but it was my sins, it was your sins, the sins of this world that nailed Jesus to the cross. John 3:16, the core of the message of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into this world to condemn this world, but through Him that the world might be saved. Amen. It was your sins and my sins that put Him on the cross. Amen. And the wonderful thing is, the powerful thing about the cross is, Jesus went to the cross willingly. He willingly went to the cross because He knew it would benefit you and I. Amen. He didn't fight tooth and nails. I ain't going. He went willingly. So what did we gain from the King who hung on the cross? What did we obtain by Him doing that? Forgiveness. Oh my goodness, forgiveness. Forgiveness with the Father. That the cross was literally a bridge that connected you and I to the Father. There was a chasm, there was a gap between you and I and the Father. The cross was that bridge that brought us together. Restored us from ourselves to God, not God to man, because we were the ones who fell, sin. It restored our relationship with Him. Holiness, sanctification, the anointing upon your life, the peace of God, God's peace, His healing, reconciliation, the victory we talked about, His victory become our victory, provisions, prosperity and favor. These are all some of the things that we have benefited from the King who hung on the cross. We have gained a new life, gained a new family, a new way of living. We have a new life divine from the King who hung on the cross. And the thing is, if you don't know Him, He wants to meet you. And you know, this morning, you know, as our elders start making your way up to the front, this morning, if you have never made Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, and there's a desire within your heart to do so, I want you to just to bow your heads wherever you are And I want you to pray this prayer after me. Amen. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you, a sinner in need of a Savior, asking forgiveness for my sins. I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son and that he died on the cross of Calvary. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I ask you right now to come into my life. Jesus, be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. Lord, take control of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I confess with my mouth that I am born again, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer, amen, you are saved, and now you are a child of God. Amen, amen. Thank you for the blood.